Okay, we can restart again. So we were looking at the XPath expressions and how we can write XPath expressions to achieve what we are looking for. Okay, so we just very quickly saw one example where we want to find out all those food products, elements, which are high on sodium. And we said that the condition is that we are looking for all those food elements which have sodium amount greater than 400, okay, in this case. So here you see how we are traversing using this absolute path. We have the front slash, that means we are starting from the root node. We go into the nutrition element here, then we go into the food element, and then we are applying this predicate logic. That means that we are testing some condition in order to pick something, to extract something. We are not interested in all the sodium elements from this food element, but we are only interested in some of them which are high on sodium. Kay. Similarly, you could have many more statements that you might be interested in to execute. Okay, if you are looking for some information from this XML file. So for example, food where the amount of calories from fat per serving size is less than 10. Okay. So that means we are looking for some kind of food. We know how to traverse 2D food, right? Front slash from root, nutrition, front slash, change level, change directory into the food. And then we are applying some predicate here. And what that condition is, serving size is less than 10. Kay. So food where calories are of fat are less than 10. Kay. Now here we see that we are evaluating an attribute. Kay. Because the fat is an attribute, part of these calories, which is a sibling of sodium element. For example, we have this food, it has sodium, it has calories, it has vitamins, it has proteins and many other elements. The one we are interested in the fat, which has a low fat. And fat is an attribute which is associated in this case with the calories, right? Okay. And we can have many more same XPath expressions. So the name, we are interested in the name of the element of the food manufactured by Lexin. Okay. So here the condition is an equality check. So we are looking for a manufacturer which is equals to Lexin. Okay. So here we can check nutrition, food, and food has an element manufacturer, a child manufacturer, but in which manufacturer we are interested in, not all of them. We are interested in only that product manufacturer which is called Lexin in this case. Okay. And here you see we have another front slash and name. That means that in this case we are not picking the element. We are not only displaying the element, but we are displaying the name which is contained in that element. And I can show you this using this editor. So here we have a web link called FreeFormatter. This provides a validation tool to validate and check your XML file, whether it's correct or not. If there are any errors, if you have not, let's say, written this, there are some errors. You can validate using freely available online validators, or you can download the IDEs for XPath expressions or XML. Kay. So here we see that this is the XML input. I have copied all the XML file into this area. Kay. The file is available on your Fronter under the this week's lecture. And then here we can write the XPath expressions. I do not want to include the XML, so I picked no. That means that we are not showing the typeset of the XML elements, but we are interested in only the output. So here, whatever we would write, it will get executed, and we can see, for example, if we have to pick something, let's say like this, all the food elements of the nutrition, and here you see it picks. No, it didn't pick. Let me check. Unable to compile yet, so there is some error, right? And I'm not telling what I'm going to do here. Right, so in this case, it has picked all these name elements which are there in the XML file. But name elements of what? Name elements of food that we are interested in. That means that we have nutrition, root node, and we picked all these food elements. Okay, and it picked the names. So here you see the element name tag also appears. And I can use the text method to pick only the text value, not the element. Okay, so here you see the name element tag has been removed and you are only left with the actual value of that names you are interested in. So here we see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. There are 10 different food nutritions, food elements. So that means we have a nutrition and we have 10 different food elements. And then we have further elements which are associated with this food. So how about, let's say we were looking this example, nutrition food where sodium greater or equal to 400. You can manually look at the XML file and check, okay, which one has a sodium greater than or equal to 400. But the file, if it goes very long, you wouldn't like to do it. And if you want to program, that means you want to have smart expressions to do it on your behalf rather than you sit and look for it. Okay, but you can manually validate it, or you can use validators to check your expressions. Yeah, so for example here I've said look for sodium greater than or equal to 15. Now if the element name sodium starts with capital S and if I've written with the small s, it will give an error, or it will give no match. It will not find any match. It will not find any result. Okay, I do not know if the sodium is written with the small or with the letter, but here we can check. Okay, yeah, it's with the small, so it will execute. But in any case, if you write an expression and if you write small letters or capital letters, if it does not find the exact match, it will not execute. If you remember, we said that a well-formed XML contains the element nodes starting with a name and ending with the same name with same capitalization or smaller letters, so it's case sensitive. Okay, so you have to be careful about that. So here we see we get all the food elements that has a serving size of more than 400 sodium, but in this example I picked only 15 value, so it picked everything in which the sodium is greater than this value. Now we see how many results we have here, but we can refine them. We can pick only, let's make it a bit small, we can make it 450, I hope there is some name. Okay, so we get still two results. Okay, if we are interested only in the names, we can tell it to pick only the name of these elements. And here we see we have three food products which have sodium greater than 450 or whatever the condition that you specify. Also, we can check the things that we were looking for. So, for example, if we are trying to find a food where the amount of calories from fat per serving is less than certain amount, we can look for all those food also. So, it's under the calories, and we said that we are looking for fat, and fat is an attribute, so that means we have to use the at sign. And the condition that we are giving, let's say we are saying less than 10. Okay, I've already have that here. So finding all these food elements, and we are displaying only the name of those food elements where the calories from fat is less than 10. And we can check there is only one food called coleslaw, which is low in fat. So if you are diet conscious, you can execute this query and find out what food you should eat, right? So that's how you can check and execute XPath expressions. Okay, and we have all these expressions here. I hope you have been able to understand. So we have this path node where we want to follow, test node, the node we are evaluating, and then we have this predicate condition, and then these text, for example, here are the functions which XPath provides us. Remember, in which language you program, you have certain functions. Like if you are working in C or C++, you have the main function. Okay, you have the cout function, cin functions. You have different functions. You have string functions. You have further input-output processing functions. So XPath also has some about roughly 100 functions that you can use. Some of these functions are string functions, some of these functions are number functions, and there are quite many other functions. So we have, for example, string functions. So you can concatenate certain string values using this concatenate method. Contains, we have already seen an example earlier in the slides where we were looking for all the food names which contains the word chicken. Okay, so we have used this contains element. Here in this case, you see that contains, we are checking if ML is contained in the first value, which is XML. So in this case, it will give us a true result. Then we can normalize space if there is quite a lot of gap in the XML file. We can normalize it. This is useful if you are programming and trying to write some application where you do not need to have a gap, and you are evaluating some or performing some calculations. Okay, in case of, let's say, multiplication, division, subtraction, or any of these arithmetic operations. So you can also look with starts with. In this case, you are looking for from word professor if it starts with prof. Okay, you can count string length, you can have subtraction, substring. You pick from the professor, you pick starting from the first element to the fourth element. That means you pick only first four string elements from this case. And then you can have different methods and functions that you can use depending upon what you are required to do. So we have already seen this name of chicken dishes. If you are chicken fan and would like to eat something chicken, you can check if this nutrition file contains any chicken food or not. Okay, so you can execute this expression and check if it contains chicken. Okay, and you can test it in this free formatter web link. You just copy and paste the full XML file, whatever you are trying to test, and then you can write your expressions and check what results it gives you. Also, we have numeric functions in XPath 1. These are simple and they are self-explanatory. You can see addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, and modulus. If you want to find the remainder of a number, you can use this. And then it has numeric functions also. For example, you have a statistical XML file that contains all these different values, and you are performing numerical analysis, and you would like the numbers to be in integer values. And if all your numbers are in real values, that means they are 15.75, 2 point something, and you want real numbers, 15, 2, 3, not with the points. You can write these kinds of numeric functions. So the number function converts the string into a number, because if you want to use multiplication, addition, subtraction, division, you cannot multiply two string values. You need to first convert them into integer format or number format, and then you can multiply them. So this number does that. You have ceiling. Ceiling means roof. Okay. So if the value is 3.14, If it's below 3.5, if it's 3.01, if you apply the ceiling function, it will take up to the next real value. Okay, so 3.14 goes to the 4. Count counts the number of nodes in the set. Floor, ground floor. Okay, ground in which you walk. So if the number is, let's say, 3.85 or 3.98, it will not convert it to 4. It will bring it down. And these are the same in many languages, in MATLAB, in C, in Java, in C sharp. Most of these methods are quite common. Round, if it's below 3.5, the round will take it down. If it's above 3.5, it will bring it to 4 value. Right? So round does it. So round, ceiling, floor, three similar functions, does one another but slightly different. And then you can sum of all the node values. Okay. For example, if from this file you want to check, there are 10 different food elements, and what is the total sodium value in all of these? So you can go to N, this node, F, this child node, okay, and then you are looking for sodium, and you are summing up. So you have sum sodium, so you pick all the sodium elements and sum it up and display that value. So you will see what is the total sodium contained in all of these foods. Okay. So maybe if you are interested in to figure out what minerals are maximum quantity in all of these foods, so you can do some, or you can use it for some other purpose. You could also use Boolean values in XPath. It does not have zeros and ones as a Boolean value, okay, but you could use false, true, and not functions to evaluate your expression. Okay. For example, if sodium equals to 400, then display all the elements of sodium, for example. Okay. So you could use these kinds of conditions in the predicate case. Predicates may be combined with Boolean operators AND or. Okay. Right? If you are combining two expressions, or you are saying pick do this or do that. Okay. Do this and do this also. Find all the sodium elements which are greater than 400, and find all the sodium elements which are less than 50. Okay. Or find all the sodium elements which are greater than 0, or find all the sodium elements which are greater than 5. Right? So you can use these combinations. For example, in this case we have an example, food where total fat is no more than 15. So we have some predicate, we have some condition, but your teacher is not so nice here. He has more conditions for you. Okay. So food where the total fat is not more than 15 and saturated fat is not no more than 5. So that means you have two conditions that you need to combine now, you need to aggregate now. And you can use either AND or depending upon what is asked. But in this case, both statements needs to be met in order for this statement to be true. You know. So you will get your full marks if you are able to not only pick saturated fats less than 5, but also you are able to pick total fat less than or equal to 15. Okay. So here we see that we have nutrition. We go to the food, and now saturated fat is an element. It's not an attribute. If it's an attribute, we should have an at sign. It's an element, and we are checking if sodium fat is less than 5, and we are also checking another element, and total fat less than or equal to 15. So if you execute this, it will give you all the food elements which satisfies this condition. Okay. And we can check it by writing this expression in the free formatter expression path, and you can check the names of all the food elements which satisfies this condition. Now we can have more XPath predicates which makes use of more of these functions that we have just seen. For example, serving units that are not grams. So if you look at the XML file, we see that units is an attribute of serving, probably, if I'm not wrong, you can all check and verify. Okay. So unit is an attribute of serving, and unit has a value which is gram. Okay. And the gram can contain some text, whatever it might be. So in this case, what we have been asked to do is to pick serving units that are not grams. It could be in micrograms, it could be in milligrams, it could be in, let's say, kgs, okay, but not in gram. So how we are doing it? We know serving is a child of food, so we somehow need to go to the food. So root front slash nutrition front slash change directory food, and then we are at the serving. But we are picking only those servings which does not have a unit value as gram. So here we see that units not equals to g, okay, which does not contain the string g as its attribute value. Another example, food except those having eggs in the name. That means, yes? It's for the self. Parent, self, but you can write this in another way also. Okay, I'm not going to tell it now, but there are different options of writing these conditions. Okay. In some cases, you may not need to go into too much specific, depending upon how your XML file looks like, obviously. Okay. So another example, food except those having egg in the name. So that means we are interested in all those food that does not contain any egg. Okay. So that means that we can use a method provided by XPath, which is contains. So if we are able to find which food contains egg, we can say, no, we don't want this. It's an easy, right? So we can write it like this, nutrition, food. Okay. First we check how to find egg. So contains name. We saw that name is an element. So we check if the name is egg. Okay. Because name is an element and we are putting it into the predicate logic now. So if name is an egg and it contains this name, that means we are not interested in that. So we have a not method of the XPath. So similarly, food where the amount of saturated fat per serving is more than half the recommended daily value. Now you can see the expressions are becoming more and more complex, right? So you have to think a bit more. But if you have been able to understand this, I'm sure you'll be very easily able to solve these kinds of expressions also. Okay. So the first path is easy, but then it now depends upon your logic knowledge also. How you write expressions, how you formulate expressions, how you define conditions to solve particular problem. Okay. Also, you can do it many different ways. Okay. Either you have a saturated fat, which is twice your daily needs. Okay. Or you can have a daily needs cut half and have the saturated fat as it is. But here we see that we have a nutrition, food. What we are interested in, saturated fat per serving is more than half. That means it should be twice your daily needs. Okay. So you have to translate your English statement, understand it, and then translate it into the expat expression. That what is required from you. Quite often what happens is that students know what to do, what expressions to write. They are really good. But in exams, sometimes they are in hurry. They overlook what is required, what is asked in the statement. So whenever you are writing an expat expressions, try to first figure out what is required from you. Okay? And then write the expat expression. So here we see we need to have a saturated food, which is two times more, twice the daily needs. And our daily needs is nutrition, daily value, saturated fat. Okay. So daily value is an element of nutrition. Okay. Food where there is no more than 2 calories per gram. This is a bit simpler. Right? We are interested in the food. That means we know how to traverse to this food. Node:\food. And now we are evaluating calories per gram, right? But is it really simple enough? No. You need to know how your XML file is structured, how your XML file looks like. Okay. And that's where the XML schema and DTD, document type definition, comes into play. That defines what elements are contained in your XML file. So as your XML file becomes very large, it becomes very difficult to find what you're looking for. Okay. For example, if you are these many students, and if I know everyone by name, it will be very easy for me to point out and ask, call his name and ask him to stand up. But if the room is full, and there are quite many students standing here and there, then for me it becomes very difficult also. It will take me time to look at everyone's face, okay, and then see who I am looking for. So that's the same scenario. If your XML files becomes very large, you have to be careful, and you need to know how you. That's why we always represent the XML file as an XML tree structure, because it's easy to visualize, it's easy to see. Right? Even though we are not looking at the XML file right now when we are trying to solve this, execute these XPath expressions. But if we have a detailed structure like this, it becomes very easy to solve this. Right now, it does not have further information. So I do not know if total serving is part of calories or units is part of serving or not. I need to go back and look at the file. Okay. So if you have very long XML files, it's always a good idea to have this kind of tree structure. So a tip for you, if you have an XML file given in your exam, in the exam the file will not be too large because of the time constraints and the effort that is required from you. Okay. Try to make these kinds of diagrams roughly very quickly. Then it will become very easy for you to execute these expressions, because you can very quickly visualize what are different elements, how they are placed in the hierarchy, what is the child node, what is the parent node. Okay. So this is for you to solve. You can try to formulate an expression for this one and solve it using this free formatter. We'll go to the next slide. Okay. Now we can use built-in functions of XPath to execute different things. So operates on different node sets position, as you asked the question that how we can check if it's the first element of A or it's the second element. So we could use this position. It returns the current node's position. We could use the last returns position of the last node. And we can use different functions. For example, find the first food item. We are only interested in the first food item, not else. So that means we can write an expression nutrition slash food position equals to 1. It will return us this first food element. We can write it like this also by only giving the value 1 in the index. Okay. By default it picks like this, but if you want to pick last 3 elements, then you cannot write here a single number. You have to use where position or last minus 3. Okay. Find the last 3 food items. Nutrition, food, position, where position is greater than the last node in the element by 3 values. Okay. So that means position greater than last node in the elements by 3 values, 1, 2, 3. So we assume we have many nodes here. We go to the last one and move 3 spaces back and display those results. So in this case, you will get the last 3 food items. You can also write aggregate functions in XPath. We have seen we could use sum if you want to find out the total calories contained in all of these food elements. You could use sum. You could count also. Counts the number of nodes in the node sequence. Quite often if you are writing complex XML files and if you want to perform some elements, you might be interested in to check how many node elements are there actually. So you could use this count method to check that. Okay. So for example, find the food that is not a source of mineral or vitamin. That means we need to check it's not a source of mineral. The value of mineral should be 0 and the value of vitamin should be 0, and their total should be 0 also. That means we need to sum them. If nutrition is 0, mineral is 0 and vitamin is 5, we get a sum of 5. That's what we are not interested in. Both has to be 0. So either we could use sum or we could write two conditions, aggregate conditions, where we check manually. Mineral equals to 0, nutrition equals to 0. But here we are interested in sum, so we can write nutrition, food, sum, vitamins, all the attributes, whatever it is, plus some minerals, all these elements. If it has, it should be, the value should be 0. Okay. So now we could also have, okay, XPath 1 has a limited set of functions, is widely supported in PHP. XPath 2 has a richer set of functions, but is not widely supported. So, but roughly there are about 100 functions in XPath 2 which are implemented. Many of these browsers support it, so if you use these functions they will work, but I have not checked all the functions in free formatter, the website I just used to evaluate, so some of the functions might not work there. But there is a note stating on this website that it can run and evaluate string functions, numeric functions, so you can test that which are the functions which are supported. Now we'll take a look at the predicate. We have seen predicates and XPath functions. We will see the axis. Now XPath also defines axis. Axis is a direction in which the links out of XML node can be traversed. That means that we cannot only move using this statement, but we can use some axis directions also. That, for example, from N, go to the child node. So it will pick all the child nodes. From S, go to the siblings. So what are the siblings? Siblings are sisters and brothers in English language. And it means the same here, that a node which has same level of nodes at the same level, right? So this F is a sibling of this, right? In the same hierarchy level. So XPath supports several axes like child, we know we can go to the child like this. We have used this descendant. Okay, double dash goes to the descendant also in x axis, but it also means find the elements wherever it is in the document if we did not specify before. But if we say b front slash c, so all these descendants of b, right? We have then parent, we have self node, we have preceding following attributes, following siblings, preceding siblings. So example, if we are here and we are interested in to find out only the following siblings, so the following siblings will be these nodes, not this one. Preceding siblings which occurred before this node under context. Okay, preceding siblings, which all the siblings which are before. Descendants which are above that node. Okay. Okay, so each axis has a direction. Forward means document order. Child, you always have child of a particular higher node. Okay. This node cannot have him as a child. So the sequence is from top to down, right? So the forward means document order, child, descendants, following siblings, following descendant or self. These are all after that node in which we are interested. Backward means reverse document order. Okay. What could be the reverse of this? Ancestors, predecessors. Preceding siblings, precedings, anything which is before that node. So we can see them using this example. For example, if our context node is this black one, okay, so this becomes the parent axis, right? If this is our context node, this becomes the child axis. So if I want to go from this node to this node, I can simply use the child axis method or command in the XPath, and it will find all the child of this node. The descendants are all anyone who is coming after this, because this is our context node. So anyone which is coming will be a descendant. Ancestors, the ancestors of this node, okay, is this one, and this one, because that's the root from which it originated. These are not the ancestors. These are the preceding nodes, or these are the siblings, preceding siblings, forward siblings. Following sibling, the one which followed after this node. So this is the following sibling axis, right? And then we have preceding siblings which occurred before this node. Siblings, that means on the same level, but occurred before this node. So these are the siblings. We will see an example where you could understand why we need to have these kinds of different relationship between the nodes, because it will help us to traverse quickly among the nodes. Okay. Following axis, whatever occurred after this. Now when the tree populates, it populates from this right side. Okay. So this is the first node, then this will populate, then this will populate. Once it's finished, it does not have any child node, this will formulate, then this will formulate, this will formulate, it still has, it will formulate, it goes up, this will formulate. So it originates like this. So that means if we are here, so the following axes are anything that happened after this. Okay. So that means when this happened, okay, everything that is following that, okay, is this one, all these ones, but not part of its child, but occurring afterwards, okay, from the siblings and from their ancestors, and the preceding ones becomes whatever happened before it. Okay, before it was originated or born in this case. So using axes in an XPath expression, for example, find the food items immediately following the eggs in the file. Right, previously we were not interested in the food element which contains eggs, so we used not equals to contains eggs. Now we are interested in all the food elements which are following the eggs. That means if egg is here, food element, And what are the following nodes occurring afterwards? That means this, 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 whatever nodes are, but not this, because this is before the egg, okay, in this case. So find the total food item immediately following the egg in the file. So we have nutrition, food, we know how to go to the food, and then what we are looking for? Eggs. So the condition is name equals to eggs, right? So we have reached till this point, but that's not our ultimate goal. We have to find all these following elements. So now here you see we are using following siblings. So this is an excess jump in the XPath expression. Okay. So because we do not know how many nodes are there, how many elements are there, so we need to have these kinds of excess directions. So following siblings and pick food. In this case, we are picking only the first food which immediately occurs after the egg. If we do not give 1 in the brackets and if we give star, that means all these elements after the food element, after the egg food element. Okay. Or the food item preceding the eggs by 2. So that means we need to find the egg food item and those which are preceding it by 2. Okay. So we can check it like this. Food name equals to egg, that we have already seen how to reach there. Now what condition we are putting? Preceding siblings. Okay, because we are looking for the food item, it's on the same node, that means it should be its siblings. So preceding siblings where food equals to 2. Okay, so we pick the food element 2 positions before the egg food element, right? So that's how you can write, you can use excess directions, and it could be in this case following siblings and preceding siblings. It could be many other different elements. For example, pick all the child of food element that contains eggs. Okay, so in that case you will have the same equation, front slash nutrition, front slash food, which food you are interested in, which has a name equals to egg. So you have reached here. Now it could have many different elements like sodium, calories, vitamins, okay, proteins, carbohydrates. And if you write child here, okay, front slash star, it will pick all the child elements. So you can test all these different kinds of XPath expressions in this manner, right? Yep, so resources links, W3 schools is quite helpful. It gives you very easy understanding. So if you do not, if you have following, trouble following what we have here, you can always refer to that. You can always ask me if you have any questions. Okay, I will try to have question sessions in the next class, in the first session. One more thing, we will have the assignments up for you by the end of this week. Okay, I hope you are still working on your 4th obligatory exercise, which you should be submitting very soon. Okay, but I will try to put this up, this 5th assignment for you, so then you can start looking at it. It is based on this week's lecture, what we have seen today and what we have done previously. When I have the assignment, we can discuss further into details how we can, what we are expecting it from you to do. If you have any questions from today's lecture, you have 2 minutes. Or if you come up with any questions, you know my office, feel free to drop, or just drop an email, okay, if you do not understand. But I hope the lecture is interesting for you. Do try to run this code on this free website for this validation. They have their own examples also. They have their own smaller XML file and on their own XPath expressions that you can check and validate. That will give you a good understanding of how to write and execute XPath expressions. Okay. Yeah, so that's it for today. Thank you.